Today's reading is from Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Joseph! Joseph! Where are you? I got your wood that you were too lazy to carry by yourself.
No, take it easy. I just needed to get some apples for a snack. Needed a little something to eat. Check on the family. Yeah.
How's Mary? How's the little lady doing?
Mary is Mary. I knew I was in trouble when I went to get the apples, and she said, "We need to have a discussion." I said, "A discussion about what?" She says, "We have to add a room onto the house." I said, "Why do I have to add a room to the house?" She said, "Jesus needs his own room." I said, "When did Jesus become the Lord of this house?" She looked at me as if to say, "If I have to answer that question, you're going to regret asking it." You know that look?
I know the look.
So I'm going to be building a room onto our house sometime soon.
So how's your little Lord Jesus doing?
Oh. Jesus. He's just this amazing kid. His use of words, he is smart as can be.
Well, you know, I got my answer, but who do you think he takes after, you or your mother?
Oh, that's a good question. In all humility, I would say he takes after his father. You know, he said to me the other day, "Where do babies come from?" I said, "Well, they come from their mother's tummies." And I could tell he was looking at his mother in the distance as if he's trying to figure this out, right? He says, "Well, can someone be born again?" I said, "Well, no, it doesn't work that way. Once you come out of your mother's tummy, you can't go back." He said, "But what if the first time didn't work?" I said, "What do you mean it might not work?" He said, "Well, what if somebody was born, but they weren't fully alive?" I said, "Well, you got me there." And he stares up into the sky and says, "I've got to work on that." Oh, my favorite, though, was yesterday. Mary doesn't get mad at him very often, but when she does, I can tell by the way she says his name, Jesus. She goes into the house. I hear this shout, "Jesus!" We're trying to teach him how to clean up. "This house is a mess. Young man, do you think you were born in a barn?" He says, well, you told me I was. Amazing kid.
Well, you know, now that we're on the subject, you know, you never talk much about that time.
What time are you talking about?
The time that Jesus was born.
I don't know. I didn't want to bore you.
Listen, listen, you're not boring me. In fact, you don't mention much about the last 2 years at all. Why'd you leave?
We just needed to get away for a while. But we're back now, and you and I have plenty of work to do.
You know what? You know, we do have plenty of work. But you know, I've known you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you are probably the most responsible man that I know. Mm. And you know, I'm not judgmental. And I know the way that you and Mary, the way things worked out, and I know what people are saying. So I'm not gonna judge you, but why in the world did you leave? Where did you go? What happened?
Do you know why I love carpentry? It's not because I build things, and I love that. I love having something to see for your work, to make something with your hands, something that people can use. I love that. That's not why I love carpentry. I love carpentry because the rules are clear. If you want to know if something's level, that right there will tell you. If you want to know if something's straight or the length of something, is it a cubit? That will tell you. I love carpentry because the rules are clear. I know it is not easy working with me because I like to do things right.
You can say that again.
Yeah, well, you can blame that on my father. My father was a carpenter. He had this saying, if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right.
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 Right. I'm not avoiding your question. I'm just wanting you to understand something about me. My faith is like carpentry. It's important to me to do things right. The Torah tells us what is right, just like a level or a measure. You want to know what pleases God? Do this, so I do it. The Torah says, don't do this, so I don't do that. I've always wanted in my life to do the right thing. At least I thought I did. Shortly after Mary and I got engaged, she told me that she was expecting. And I had been doing things right. We had not been together.
You mean to tell me the test results are in and you're not the baby?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you want me to answer your question or not? She said she'd been visited by an angel named Gabriel who told her that she would have a child who would be the Son of God. That even though she was a virgin, God's power would cause her to be with child. And so she told me this and said she was going to now go see her relative Elizabeth. You never met Elizabeth, did you?
Never met her.
Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, who's a priest, are very, very elderly. They were never able to have a child. But then all of a sudden, they were expecting a child long after the time that they should physically be able to have a baby. Elizabeth said it was a miracle, that it was God's doing. So Mary was going to go and help her during her pregnancy. For all appearances, it would look very natural and normal. Nobody would ask any questions. Mary wasn't showing. They would think she's just gone to help Elizabeth. But I knew word would get out. She would start to show. People would eventually come back to Nazareth and tell what was going on with Mary. And I probably didn't make things any better. I didn't believe her, obviously. But you know what hurt more than the betrayal? What hurt more than the betrayal was making up the story that she did. And I thought the reason she did it is because she knew I am a man of faith, my integrity is important to me, and I felt that if she makes up some fantastic story that God was doing this to her, that that would be a way to keep me around because she knew what would happen to her if I wasn't. It wasn't just the betrayal. I was angry that she was lying to me. Just tell me the truth. So what's the right thing to do? In some ways, it's pretty easy. Get a divorce. That's what the law says I have the right to do and should do. If your wife has been unfaithful, get a divorce. And that's what we'd have to do if I was going to get out of the relationship. We were engaged, same as being married. You would have to go and get a certificate of divorce. But if I did that, it would be as much as admitting that the child wasn't mine. And do you know what could happen to her? The elders of the village could take her out of her home and stone her to death. Now, I don't know that they would have, but even if they didn't, what kind of life would she have? You know this town. Think about the way people would treat her. I was angry, but I didn't want to see her get hurt. I had always believed if you just do the right thing, life is going to be easy. Do what the scriptures say. The scriptures teach us what is right. If somebody does this, this is what you do to them. If it's this kind of a person, this is how you treat them. But for the first time in my life, being right didn't seem right. So I got an idea. I thought what I should do is try to make it look like I was divorcing her but covering it up at the same time. Not let it be public. Make it look like I was trying to do something secretly. Then it would look like the child is mine but I'm trying to abandon them. And I would bear the disgrace but I would leave and I would go back to my home in Bethlehem. And people would take pity on Mary. That would be the right thing to do. And that's when it happened. I was sleeping one night. The wind was blowing softly, but I became aware that the wind was getting louder and louder. And that's when I heard the voice. An angel, tell me not to be afraid to take Mary as my wife. The child within her was of the Holy Spirit. And I am to name him Jesus, which means Savior. Now, I know you well enough to know that right now you're probably thinking, Joseph, it was just a silly dream. And that's the point. It was a dream, but it was my dream. And I had a choice to make. Was I going to follow my dream or not? And I felt God was speaking to me in that dream as real as the two of us are talking right now. I felt like God was calling me, like God was giving me a job to do. You know, up to that point, I had only thought about how my decision is going to affect my life. And then I started thinking about how is my decision going to affect Mary? But that night, for the first time, I started wondering how is my decision going to affect the child? And I felt God was saying to me, do what's right for him. Do what's best for Jesus, and you'll do the right thing. So I decided that night, that's what I'm going to do. And I had immediate peace. Come what may, no matter what happens, I had peace for the first time that doing what's right for him is going to bring me the peace I need. So I found Mary. I brought her back to Nazareth. We felt the stares of people. We knew the awkward looks. But you know what? It was okay. I did not realize what my decision would mean until the census was taken. And we had to go to my home. Mary was far along by this point. We traveled 9 days to get to Bethlehem, and it was very hard for her. I knew that at my parents' house, they had a guest room. Some people call it an inn, you know, an upper room. And so I figured we could stay in their guest room. Remember what I said about my father and his attitude about carpentry? Well, when it comes to religion, that is doubly so. When my parents opened the door and took one look at Mary, they said, "We don't have any room in the guest room." Do you know how painful it is to be turned away by your own family at such a time? But they did let us go to the stable. And wouldn't you know it, that was the night that Jesus was born. A filthy, smelly stable. I looked around to find what rags I could dig up from the ground. That was all we had to wrap our child in. I tried to clean out the feeding trough and put some fresh straw in it. And we laid him there. I couldn't help but feel that that was the best bed that I was able to give him. That! Mary, she started crying. And we both just kind of sat and cried. Because we wonder, why did God let this happen to us? I mean, we both had tried to do the right thing. We both had tried to be faithful. Why did God let this happen? And that's when we had some visitors. You know what? It's getting late. I'm going to save that part of the story for tomorrow. If you want to hear the rest of the story, you got to come back tomorrow. Just know that we had confirmation. God was in the picture. God was looking out for us. We stayed in Bethlehem for quite some time. Other relatives of mine let us stay with them. And then I got another dream. An angel told me that it was no longer safe for us to be in Bethlehem and we needed to flee to Egypt. That's where we went. We were there for quite some time. I did not know until I got back what happened, that Herod sent soldiers into Bethlehem and he slaughtered every male child under 2 years old. He was looking for Jesus. Then, another dream. This time the angel said it was safe to return home. Herod had died, but not to go to Bethlehem. And so we came back here. That's where I've been. Mary and I have been married for a while now. People kind of forget. In fact, it's kind of comical these days. People look at little Jesus and they say, "Oh, Joseph, he's got your eyes. He looks just like you." It makes Mary so mad. She says, "I'm the one who had to have the child. You didn't do anything and you get all the credit." You know what I learned from this whole thing? Here's what I've learned. It's easy to hold on to rules. It's a lot harder to hold on to people. And that's what God does. God holds on to people. I spent my whole life believing that if I do things right, I can hold on to God. And all God ever wanted was to hold me. When Jesus was a baby, I had him in my arms one day. And the strangest feeling came over me. I felt like God was saying, "That's what I'm doing for you right now. That's all I want to do for you. Right now, you're holding him. But in the end, he'll be holding you." Hey, there's my little shining star. Come up here. Did you come to help your papa? Are you? Come over here. I understand from your mother that we've got a job to do. We have got to build a room for you. Hey, sit down right here. We are going to need to get to work. Why don't we start? How about a bed? Does that sound good? Let's start with a bed. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening. All right, you see this? This is the kind of hinge that we need to make for the end of your bed. The parts come out like that. Now we need to find three more pieces, and we're going to have to make that kind of cut. And then look at that. You cut this piece of wood like that, and fits there. Now let me teach you a little trick. When you're working, measure once, measure twice, but cut once. Yeah.